and he's out of here. All right. Get situated here. There was a famous composer by the name of George Handel. And he was at a low point right before he wrote his famous Messiah. His health was shot, his right side was paralyzed, and all his money was gone, and he was heavily in debt. He was being threatened with imprisonment. He was tempted to give up. The odds seemed too great. It was then that he composed his greatest work, Handel's Messiah. His greatest work came out of difficult circumstances. We will all face difficult circumstances in our life. But in those times, God is still at work, and unexpected things can happen. The Apostle Paul experienced this, and he writes about it to his friends in Philippi, about how to handle difficult circumstances. And that's where we're going to pick up this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Philippians 1, we're going to start in verse 12. If you could please stand. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning. I just pray that you'd be with us this morning. Allow us to hear what you have for us through this passage. In your precious name, amen. You may be seated. So difficult circumstances provide opportunities to advance the gospel. Paul faced many difficult circumstances. Paul says, "What has happened to me now?" Now, there's quite a story behind just those words. It all started with Paul being falsely accused in Jerusalem of bringing Gentiles into the Jewish part of the temple. He was accused by a mob of people and beaten until rescued by Roman soldiers. He was then arrested. He appeared before the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, which turned into another riot where the Romans rescued Paul and put him back into jail. Some of the Jews conspired to kill Paul, and the Romans found out about it and transferred him at night to Caesarea on the coast. He would stay there for 2 years as a prisoner. And after three trials in Caesarea, Paul appealed to Caesar, and he would head off to Rome as a prisoner. On the way, the ship that he was on was shipwrecked, but he would survive and arrive as a prisoner of the emperor, where he would live for 2 years chained to Roman guards. So when Paul says, "What has happened to me?" those are just some of the things that had happened to him. There is quite a story that goes with that. Paul's difficult circumstances did not stop the gospel. It would be natural for Paul's friends in Philippi to think that because Paul was in chains, the spread of the gospel had been stopped. But the truth is nothing can stop the gospel. In some of the most repressive countries in our world, the gospel is still spreading. In Iran, the leaders of that country are violently opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet there is a great revival happening there. In China, where the leaders also repress and persecute Christians, the church is still exploding. Nothing can stop the gospel. There's a man from Turkey. He was a Muslim, but he also was a drug addict. He was watching TV one night and found a Christian channel and heard about Jesus and his ability to change people's lives. Right then, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Immediately, he became an evangelist. He shared the gospel with everyone, and he got arrested many times. One time, he was put in with a rough group of people. There were 65 men in a room made for only 45. He immediately began to share Jesus with them, and since cameras were watching, he would meet with the men under their beds to share with them. He was in that cell for 8 days, and 24 men gave their hearts to Jesus. He was told he could make bail and get out, but he delayed for 3 days to continue his ministry. Being in jail did not stop his ministry. It just gave him a new audience to share the gospel with. And that is the exact way that Paul looked at his ministry. Paul's difficult circumstances provided a way for the gospel to advance. Now, the word advance comes from a word meaning to cut the way before. It's a picture of a pioneer cutting through the uncharted territory. So instead of his chains confining him, they put him in a place to share the gospel. Now, this is not what Paul had planned. He had planned to go to Rome to preach, but not as a prisoner. And I don't think that God arranged for Paul to be arrested and then end up in Rome as a prisoner, but God used the circumstances to advance the gospel because Paul was passionate about sharing the gospel. We can imagine that the enemies of God thought they had stopped the great missionary, but they had just put him in a place where he could continue to see the gospel advanced. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 28:30 and 31. Paul was able to minister to the palace guard. And Paul wrote, It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard that I am in chains for Christ. The palace guard referred to here is the Praetorian Guard. They were an elite group of guards who were stationed in Rome and guarded the emperor. They were Caesar's bodyguards. Strong, courageous, brilliant, sophisticated young men. Kind of a mixture of West Point and Secret Service. They served in the palace for 12 years, protecting Caesar and guarding his prisoners who, like Paul, appealed to him. And after 12 years, they were transitioned to other influential careers. Some went on to be commanding generals. Others went into public office and became senators or ambassadors to the other countries. Still others advanced to upper rankings of business and industry. As a group, they were the movers and the shakers of the future, the opinion leaders and kingmakers of the next generation. They were a powerful and strategic group of young men. If you wanted to influence the Roman Empire for Christ, you could not have picked a better group to start with. Paul would never have dreamed that he could come to Rome and start a ministry to the Praetorian Guard. Yet as a prisoner, he was under house arrest, but chained to one of the Praetorian Guards 24 hours a day. The guards worked in six-hour shifts, and during his two-year stay in Rome, there would be 2,920 six-hour shifts. That's 2,920 opportunities to share the gospel with these guards. Imagine what they heard when Paul preached to his visitors, when Paul was writing letters like we are reading today, when Paul was praying, when Paul did miracles. Now, we don't know the whole story, but we can imagine that many of these young men became followers of Jesus. And at the end of this letter, Paul writes these words that indicate that some of them did become believers. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household, Philippians 4:22. Paul was able to influence many as they heard his story. Not only did the guards know about Paul and why he was in chains, Paul says that everyone else knew as well. So the word was spreading. It's possible the guards told their wives told their friends at the market, and so on and so forth. Many in the great city of Rome heard of Paul and his situation, that he was not in prison for anything that he had done wrong, but for his faith in Jesus Christ. There were people who had to prepare for Paul's case to be taken to Caesar. And when they talked to Paul, they understood he was in chains because of Christ. So guess what they get to research as they put together Paul's case? Jesus Christ. And the word continued to spread. In Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Through the story of Paul, we see that he realized that his circumstances were not as important as what he did with them. Paul was able to rejoice because of what God was doing in the middle of his difficult circumstances. Paul did not complain. We're sure he would like to be released. He probably didn't want to continue to be in prison. But until then, he will faithfully serve the Lord in his difficult circumstances. Difficult circumstances provide opportunities to encourage others. Paul's faithful ministry was not only winning converts among the guards, it was encouraging the church of Rome. He says, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged." Instead of being frightened that they could be the next in line to be in chains, they were encouraged by the way that Paul was dealing with his circumstances. Believers were encouraged to speak the word of God. Paul comments, "Lead us to believe that the church in Rome had been reluctant to share the gospel. Opposition to the gospel was increasing, both from the Jewish legalists and the Roman authorities, but Paul's example helped them change. And now they're encouraged to speak the word of God. Apparently, if Paul could share Christ as a prisoner, surely we can share Christ as free people." Believers were filled with courage. Instead of being afraid, they went out courageously and fearlessly. Through the example of Paul, they found their courage and began to share the gospel in Rome. There's a man of John Bunyan, was a powerful and popular preacher in England in the 17th century. But the leaders of the Church of England did not approve of him, and he was jailed in order to silence him. Refusing to be silent, he began to preach in the jail courtyard. He not only had a large audience of prisoners, but hundreds of citizens of the city of Bedford filled the surrounding area daily to listen to his sermons. He was silenced again by being put in a private cell and was forbidden to preach at all. Yet it was at this time of silence that he wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress, the great Christian classic that's ministered to tens of millions throughout the world. John's enemies thought they had silenced him, but instead they gave him the opportunity to reach the world with the gospel. He was a man of courage, and God blessed his efforts. I'm also reminded of people like Don Cox, Armin Dahl, Don Malam, Hugh Freeburg, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Pete Fleming, and Roger Yoderin, and many more who were either kidnapped, imprisoned, or even killed for their faith. Yet we didn't see a decline in missionaries wanting to go out. There was more people willing to step into their shoes and continue spreading the gospel. The early church experienced this kind of courage. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Believers were experiencing victory over fear. Living in the most powerful city in the world, surrounded by glory and power and wealth, with growing opposition to their faith, they became fearless, largely because of Paul's example. Many times in the Bible, God tells us to not be afraid, and very often the reason given is that God is with us. So with that, difficult circumstances provide opportunities to refine our priorities. Difficult circumstances can be the very thing that God can use to help us evaluate our priorities. Through the difficulties that Paul was going through, we see his true colors revealed. And it is revealed that he is passionate about sharing the gospel. Nothing else really mattered to Paul. The story that Paul tells in verses 15 through 18 is almost strange to believe, but it's true. Paul was faced with preachers causing him trouble. It's true. Some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. They preach out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Not only did Paul have to put up with the legalist Jews who harassed him wherever he went and the Roman authorities, now he had a third challenge coming from other preachers of the gospel. They were envious of Paul. We can assume that these preachers are in Rome, and they apparently think Paul's getting too much attention. Too many of their people are skipping their worship services to go and listen to Paul at his home. Paul was that talk of many. The church was excited about what God was doing through him, so many of the preachers were jealous and envious of Paul. They were not anti-gospel, they were anti-Paul. They were promoting themselves. Paul says they were doing it out of selfish ambition. Now, as preachers, we have to continually purify our motives. We never want to do anything that would make people think highly of us for people to think highly of God. Instead of promoting ourselves, we need to humble ourselves. God is the one who lifts us up. We are never told to lift ourselves up. But some preachers in that day were doing that and causing trouble for Paul. Paul was encouraged by the preachers who supported him. Thankfully, not all the preachers were like that. Others were very supportive of Paul. They acted out of love. That means that others were not acting out of love. Love is not about envy and selfish ambition. Both of those are focused on self. Love is about giving to another. So there were some preachers who were not threatened by Paul's success, and they were thankful and they were supported by him. They knew Paul was in chains for Christ. It's possible that those who were opposing Paul blamed Paul for his chains. It was his fault that he was arrested. But the ones who loved Paul and supported him knew he was in chains only for one reason: his faith in Christ. You guys seeing a pattern here? He loved the gospel and he loved Jesus Christ. Paul's response to these preachers is remarkable. He could have said, "Have nothing to do with them. Don't go to their services." He could have destroyed their ministry. And it doesn't feel good when someone unjustly criticizes you. So Paul was being opposed by those who were free when he was in chains. He could not go out to correct them, but instead, Paul's response to both groups is joy that Christ is preached. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul is not saying that motives don't matter. They do. But he is saying the most important thing is not what these preachers are saying about him, but about what they're saying about Jesus. God can use his word even if it's delivered by one who has improper motives. The power comes from the gospel, not the preacher. Good. Got that out there. We can look at Jonah. He was a reluctant preacher, but he preached in Nineveh and had great revival happen. He did not have good motives, but God still used his word. The preaching of Christ was Paul's priority and passion. Priority and passion. There was no higher priority in Paul's life than to preach the gospel. I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. That is why he could rejoice even though the other preachers were still stirring up trouble for him. Paul's joy did not come from his circumstances. Paul is rejoicing in chains with opposition from within the church, but he still rejoices. We see that joy was not dependent on his circumstances. Nothing could steal Paul's joy because it was based in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And Christ was always with him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he lived with joy. With a Roman guard chained to him every moment, he still had joy. Paul's joy came because Christ was proclaimed. Because of this, I will continue to rejoice. What Paul wanted more than anything was for Christ to be proclaimed. So since this was happening, he was joyful. Even though it was not always done with the best motives, Paul is a good example for us, showing us that God is the Lord of our circumstances. That doesn't mean he sends every circumstance to us. Some come from our own choices. Some from the choices of others. Some come from the enemy. Some can come from God's hand. But no matter the source of our circumstances, God is still at work. As we often pray for God to change our circumstances, we should also pray, God, what are you doing in the middle of these circumstances? What do you want to teach me in this? What do you want me to do with this? How can others be encouraged by my reaction to do this? Another lesson from Paul is, do not postpone your joy until your circumstances are improved. You can have joy, and you can have joy of the Lord right now. No matter what your circumstances are, God is the Lord of our circumstances. No matter what kind of situation you find yourself, God is still at work. Trust Him and seek for Him to lift you up through your life. If I could have the worship team come up. If you could stand as we sing, the altars are open and they're ready. God is wanting to work with you through your circumstances, and He's excited to be able to do that. And so please come, if you feel led, to the altars.
He is here.